Thanks, you're live.
Great. Good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It's about 5 after 10, and we are starting a work session on case number PU-17-97, the Senex pipeline application for a siting certificate. Joining me are is Commissioner Brian Crotchus. Randy Christman is recused from this case. We also have our attorney, Zach Pelham, and Pat Fawn, our staff assistant on this project. So, Brian, do you have any opening comments?
I do not.
Okay, and I don't either. So I think we'll just, we've had one or two other work sessions on this case. We actually had the hearing a fair while ago. When was that hearing? Last summer, right?
I believe.
Last July. And we've had a number of back and forth. There was a fair number of issues that came up at the case. I think we've worked through some of the major ones, the geologically unstable areas. We've come to, I think, a solution on that and have gotten some engineering documents from a consultant that has helped satisfy our needs on that. We've worked through some endangered species issues. There's really a few outstanding issues, one of which was not directly in the jurisdiction of the commission, which is landowner easements, but it's something that we watch, and we don't want to get put in a position where our permit or the granting of our permit provides leverage to the company to go back to landowners who can sometimes be confused on issues when they hear that it's already been permitted, then they might confuse that with thinking they don't have any choice. And that is not, I think, an appropriate position for the commission to be in. So we've been conscious of that and trying to walk a balance there of fairness, both for the company and the landowners. And so I think, Zach, you have an update on that and on some permits. And so I think we'll just turn it over to you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, I do have an update on the easement acquisition. I received updated numbers from Mr. Biello, who's representing Senex in this matter, earlier this week. He indicated that the Senex is at 74% acquisition, and I understand that that is essentially landowner percentage and mileage percentage on the project. There might be a little bit difference one way or the other, but 74% is what I understand. And I think the last time we were here, it was at about 64%. So that's up. There are still working. There were four landowners. I should say there are more than four landowners. There's intervener landowner. Or there are interveners who are landowners who are represented by Mr. Broughton and Mr. Cagle, who are both present here today. But aside from Mr. Broughton's clients, there were four landowners that provided testimony at the hearing. The Strobecks, you'll recall maybe that Sheldon Smith, attorney in Bismarck, represented them. Mr. Haugie also, Mr. Marshall, and Mr. Nichols. I asked for an update from Mr. Biella as to the status of those. He indicated that two are looking good, two are maybe not looking so good. The two that are looking good, we'll focus on the positive first, are Mr. Haugie, who had some issues on the route, and Mr. Marshall. Those two apparently are looking good. They don't have signed easements, however, at present, but they being the company, are working with those two individuals.
So just to stop real quick there,
yeah.
Does that suggest that some of their routing issues are being considered by the company?
It does suggest, because I think for Mr. Haugie, I believe it is, there is there at the last work session, I believe that there was some discussion of possibly a reroute onto some neighbor land. So I think that one in particular, there is specific discussion. Not so sure on Mr. Marshall, but Mr. Haugie, there is some discussion as to rerouting, but nothing's finalized.
Okay, and the Marshall issue, we don't know.
Yeah, I don't have
a
good sense as far as that. Let me just see here. There's something with an angle off the property,
yep,
and an old pipeline, a new pipeline. and there's an existing easement, but apparently there's some back and forth as far as what the existing easement allows and doesn't allow. So
was
I understand
the one with the gravel pit, potential gravel pit. No,
that was Haugi.
Oh, that was Haugi.
That was Haugi.
Gravel pit person.
Okay, I've got to run and get. Excuse me for a second. I thought my hearing notes were in my folder, and they aren't.
So no, that's
fine. If
you
have questions, go ahead, Frank.
Do you want me to stop, Commissioner?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay.
And the two that...
The two that don't, yeah. Strobex, they are concerned about native grassland and some routing issues. Apparently, from what I understand in communicating with Mr. Biella, that those discussions are not, you know, not going well, you know, where they're at. I don't think that it's to the point necessarily where they're stopped communicating, but I think that they, you know, the indication from Mr. Biella was essentially that it's not going as well as, you know, the other two that are going well.
Strobex are not good at this point in time. That's a native grassland issue, and then the...
And some routing issues, too.
And routing.
Yeah.
And the fourth is...
And they want some boring done versus trenching.
Right.
And because it's... they want the boring because it's native pasture land, is what they are saying. And the other is Mr. Nichols. And we've talked about Mr. Nichols in the past. That essentially, from Senex's perspective, from what I understand in talking and communicating with Mr. Biella, is due to the fact that the proposed area that Mr. Nichols would like is a wetlands area, and there's just no way, according to Senex, that they can do anything really with that particular area. So I think, you know, Mr. Biella didn't say this exactly, but from what my interpretation was, it was somewhat of a non-starter issue because of the wetlands being there. They just can't go through the wetland areas. As to Mr. Broughton's clients, I did have opportunity to speak with Mr. Broughton. He called me late last week, and we were able to touch base midweek this week, and had a good conversation with him. He indicated that his clients and Senex are communicating and have exchanged at least one proposed easement, and Senex is currently reviewing that. I didn't get a sense from Mr. Biella as far as where the status of that is, other than to say that, you know, the two sides are communicating and no one has said no at this point. So there are communications between the two. Obviously, you know, sometimes these negotiations take time, but that's what I understand from the landowner interveners that have intervened. And of course, there's another intervener, the Laborers Union, also intervened. And I talked to Mr. Fawn here this morning, and we haven't received any, you know, substantive update from them as far as where they're at, aside from what they testified at the hearing.
So the Sheldon Smith, he's intervening on the, or representing, not intervening,
representing. Yeah.
And can you remind me the status of that? They're still negotiating?
Well, I don't know that they're not negotiating, but the word from Mr. Biella this week was that things were not progressing.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say, because I don't know whether or not they're still negotiating or not. I wasn't told that they weren't, but I was told that, you know, there's things are not going well as far as the negotiations with them.
Can you refresh my memory? When was it at 64% in terms of easements? I'm just trying to get...
Our last meeting was 11-2.
How much time did it take to move the dial 10% since 11-2?
Roughly.
I have in my notes, just to clarify, Haugi was not the gravel pit. Haugi's, and I remember this because he spoke at another hearing previously, his issue was his family's original homestead and wanted to avoid construction on the original homestead.
Okay.
And so they're moving to avoid that.
I know there was mention
that's
of a gravel
Haugi.
Pit.
What is?
The gravel pit is Ron Nichols.
Okay. And
that's where it would, he wants it moved, and it would affect a wetland and a neighbor's property. Okay. So that one's not.
He's got a wetland on each side, if I remember, of the proposed route, but that also, the proposed route then goes through the gravel deposit.
So on my notes, on 11-2, Keith Marshall had reached an agreement in principle, so we're already 3 months away and they haven't finalized that?
Yeah, I did see that as well, Commissioner, and I can't offer an explanation for that, unfortunately.
So 15, 16 weeks have passed and to bump the number up by 10%. Doesn't seem like it would go any faster for the next 10%.
Maybe not. I mean, it would be speculating. I mean, because on one hand, you know, Mr. Broughton's clients, if an agreement is reached, you know, with them, and that's an if. That's,
how many is that?
There are, it's listed on the front page of the proposed findings.
Oh, okay.
Dennis Johnson and Mavis Johnsrud, or Dennis, not Dennis Johnson, Dennis Johnsrud and Mavis Johnsrud. Assume they're a married couple, probably joint property. Dale Livdahl, right? Those are the individuals listed. So I mean, if you get those, you know, then it's going to bump it up, you know, fairly quickly because they're all, you know, presumably. And again, I'm, you know, reading into it a bit. Presumably, all negotiating as a group. Obviously, each of them would have to sign off on their own as far as whether or not they sign an individual easement, but. Presumably being represented by the same council, they are negotiating as a group. And presumably they, if they sign, then they would presumably sign as a group, but not necessarily.
And how did Mr. Broughton characterize their negotiations? You visited with him, right, Zach?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he said that there was really, and he was, you know, open and upfront. He indicated that there was, you know, some delays on both sides, okay. And he wasn't pointing fingers. And Mr. Broughton, my experience with him is always, you know, upfront and, you know, wanting to resolve things for his clients in the most expeditious way. But, I mean, the reality of it is this, we attorneys are very busy folks, and, you know, his office, and he's no exception, and the same can be said for Senex. So I don't think that there's any fingers being pointed at all. That's not it. It's just a matter of getting proposals, getting responses, and working through that is the impression that I got.
So you didn't get the impression that there's some big disagreement that isn't going to be resolved?
I didn't get that impression, but I also didn't get the impression that there wasn't either, right? So,
okay.
I mean, it all depends on how their negotiations, and obviously we're not privy to that, and that's, like you said, I mean, it's outside of our jurisdiction, but at the same time, I understand what you're saying as far as the, you know, if we were to, you know, grant a permit, it may have some impact on those negotiations. And it's also my understanding, too, that the Senex has not instituted any, you know, condemnation actions, mm-hmm. No eminent domain at this point. So, I mean, well, there's something to be said for that.
I mean, if they're wanting to get constructing this spring, doesn't the eminent domain procedure take a while?
Months, yeah.
I suppose they could construct, with a permit, they could start constructing wherever they want.
Well, it would depend on what the permit says. I mean, you know, there are certain, and I'm under the belief, and the company is going to confirm this with me, but there are certain areas that have not been, that they may not have survey permission, so we don't have those particular areas. And if they are talking about reroute areas, then they'll have to go through that procedure as well. But it's... It's a little bit in you know, unknown as far as you know, the number of landowners remaining to get easements. There's also too, as to your comment, Commissioner Crashus, the Department of Trust Lands, they will not sign an easement until 90% easement acquisition. That's their policy. So I mean, if you know the company gets the 90%, then Department of Trust Lands signs an easement, then the remaining, that's going to bump it up even more. As far as the timing, I can't speak to that, though. I just can't. And that's outside of our purview. It's outside of our control. as far as how those negotiations go.
So the 25%, do we have a number for how many remaining easements? I know it's like 25% of the line as well, but numbers of actual people who need to sign to get to
I don't have that number. I can certainly ask the company for that number and provide that to you, but I don't have that number as I sit here, Commissioner.
And then, Pat, is there historically, has the commission approved pipelines where areas haven't been surveyed? Parts of the line have been surveyed. Do we have any experience in this that would guide what we've done in the past?
I believe that the commission has in the past on occasion made a permit conditioned on and construction in certain areas conditioned on receiving the permits and receiving doing the surveys.
Doing the surveys or receiving the permits or both?
I think both. I think we've done both.
Okay. I'd be interested in seeing those cases.
Okay.
So any construction contingent on completing the line, getting the easements for the entire line, correct?
Or construction in the areas.
Well, yeah, but
I think that's the way we worded it in the past. But I'll
well, how could you do it otherwise? We either have to have condemnation or an easement. You can't go constructing without one of the others.
You can construct in the areas that everything is worked out, everything's fine, you've surveyed and you have permits. And
so you're saying we've allowed them to construct wherever they have the permits.
Right.
Okay, okay.
And whether the company actually does that, then that's
yeah.
them, but
it's
a risk for them.
It sounded to me like you were saying we required them to have all the easements in the past before they could construct anywhere. That's not what you said.
I think we've done that in the past too. So I think we've done
okay.
A little bit of everything like that.
So just for my own benefit, since I haven't seen as many of these, let's just say 100-mile line, they have easements on for 97% of it or 98% of it. So you're talking 2 miles that they can't construct on. But they could go ahead, you're saying, depending on how the order is written, and construct the other 98 miles, take a risk on whether or not they would or wouldn't, get the last 2 miles completed. So then my question, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the word easements. I don't think our orders are ever contingent on the easements.
Okay.
But they are contingent upon permits and
okay.
and surveys that need to be done.
Okay. So on the last... Does that put undue pressure on a landowner if they're the last one? Or is it irrelevant? The other 98 miles can just sit in the ground and there's no added leverage that the company receives by not having the last 2 miles?
I think Commissioner Fedorchak mentioned a concern that she has with
right.
you know, potential negotiation of easements if we issue permits.
Yeah.
And certificates.
Well, it would put, but at that point, you got to weigh it with a couple landowners being able to hold up a whole project.
Yeah. No,
so, I mean, that's why I if it got down to 97%, to me, I mean, that's very clear that we get, yeah. But at this point, what Pat's saying, if I understand correctly, that we have done, say, we've got 74%, we've done permits that would allow the company to start constructing where they have the easements
mm-hmm.
and just work through the others and with 74%, or we've also required that they can't construct anywhere until you get this, at least the survey approval to survey the entire line mm-hmm. or in an area or make route changes, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we've done orders.
How would you state that?
Where we've conditioned the entire project on, you know, finishing surveys and or.
I see. Because how can we say that they aren't impacting the surveys? Is a fairly important piece
right.
because we can't say that they aren't impacting endangered species if we haven't even seen a survey for the land.
That's right.
I think the areas in this case, so specifically for endangered species, well, you're right.
I mean, it's
right.
Everything.
You have to do the
endangered
survey.
Species, cultural resources, wetlands, water bodies, I mean, the whole thing. If they haven't surveyed it, we can't permit it.
That particular area. But Pat's right. I mean, we have permitted you know, projects. We're not 100% easement acquisition. We're not 100% of surveys were done. But, you know, conditioned, obviously, on completion that those surveys be done. And putting aside the jurisdiction of the commission, the company legally can't, I mean, from a practical perspective, can't legally construct anything unless they have an easement with
them,
whether through agreement or through condemnation proceedings.
Yes.
And if you're talking about surveys, of course, then the commission has to review the surveys before they can actually give some kind of approval before the company's free to construct there.
But to your question, Commissioner Crush, if I could just comment, I mean, does it increase pressure? I mean, look, I mean, could it? Yes. I mean, depending on the landowner. I mean, it's going to depend on the landowner. I mean, you know, I mean, and I think it's specific as to each landowner, whether or not they're the last person that's the quote, holdout. There may be have an impact. There may not be, and they may not care about the commission permit being issued, but they may care. So I think that would just be speculation as to one way or the other as far as how the permit would impact that particular landowner.
Okay.
Just one other matter, the update, if I could,
yep.
Commissioner. The Army Corps of Engineers has issued a permit for the Missouri River crossing in Montana.
Okay,
so the company
good.
Did confirm that.
That's great.
And that's and all other you know, conditional use permits. All those permits have either been determined that they're not needed or they have been issued, is my understanding.
Okay. All right, so let's go through the order. How do you guys have it granted regarding the surveys? How is it written, if we want to?
So the ordering?
Yeah.
Clause. Let's see here. It's on the last page. Let's see, number 8 and number 9. Well, number 7 talks about licenses and permits that need to be obtained prior to construction. And there we're talking about agencies and local, like county, whatever is needed there. Number 8 is the Class 3 Cultural Resource Surveys. And number 9 deals with all the surveys that haven't been done at this point. Senex shall not commence construction in any unsurveyed areas until documentation showing that the corridor and route in those areas meeting the requirements of the Siting Act have been fulfilled, have been filed, and approval from the commission to proceed has been given. In the case of the cultural resources, of course, the company also has to have SHPO concurrence with that no historic properties or sites are going to be affected.
Without that, would the company be able to do construction if we didn't say that?
In those particular areas.
Right.
I mean, we can make it more clear, but I think it's pretty clear that if all remaining unsurveyed portions, the company, you know, cannot construct in those particular areas, because I mean it does flow into number 9 as well, because those are going to be the same areas, those unsurveyed areas.
Got to complete an all remaining series of reroute and rewatch.
But we can add a, you know, a line indicating that, you know, similar to number 9, where, you know, until it's been filed and approval from the commission. It's filed with the commission and approval is...
Well, the SHPO is, proceeded. Yeah. So on the number 8, I read that to say that they shall complete the surveys on all the unsurveyed portions and any potential reroutes and file the SHPO concurrence that no historic properties or sites will be affected prior to beginning construction any place.
Doesn't say that.
Doesn't say that.
Well, it also doesn't say prior. It says prior to beginning construction.
Well, I think it might.
Doesn't say prior to beginning construction on those locations.
I think one thing we could do is put number 9, make number 9 number 8, make number 8 number 9. So if you read this, if you read one of them first, it would be Senex shall file with the Commission surveys for cultural, biological, wetlands, resources. Mm-hmm. For those portions not yet surveyed and shall not commence construction in any unsurveyed areas until documentation, et cetera, has been filed and approval from the commission to proceed has been given. That covers everything.
You're still conflicting, though.
You just repeat it. I mean, if that's what we want to say, that they can start in the places where they have everything but not in the places where they haven't, let's just say... on number 8 will be affected prior to beginning instruction on those areas, or, you know, clarifying that we just mean those areas, not the entire route.
I don't think, well, we can work on the language, Commissioner, to
I want to think a little bit more about that, and I just want to think about this permitting without having surveyed the whole route. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I think it's a bad idea. I just want to think about it a little bit more. So, Zach, are there any other outstanding issues that you recall? I mean, we've talked through all of the specific landowner issues.
Yeah, I mean, the focus has been on the landowner easement acquisition survey, unsurveyed areas, and also the geologically unstable areas. The geologically unstable areas, we've been provided with documentation from the company and their expert, Terracon, indicating that the cut and cover method is an acceptable method, and we've included that specifically. And Pat might have to help me out here in the findings. Like, paragraph 26 on page 8 under the findings indicates the 3 geologically unstable areas. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think there one other issue was the Dakota Skipper habitat, and that's on paragraph 19 on page 7. And the company has proposed essentially what is in effect a buffer zone to address mm-hmm. the potential for that particular habitat, as the Dakota Skipper is a protected species.
Right.
But other than that, Commissioner, no. The answer to your question is no. There are not any other outstanding issues that I'm aware of. Presumably there won't be. It goes without saying if you include that at the end.
Yeah. Zach, do you have any legal opinion on the issue of providing a permit for an entire line when without there's certain areas that haven't even been surveyed. So we're basically saying, yes, this line meets the requirement of the environmental issues, the all of our various things that we're supposed to be thinking of, even though we haven't looked at some of those, and they haven't either.
I think looking at prior commission precedent, it has been done, as Pat indicated, and I'm aware of it having been done. We are not permitting those areas that are not surveyed. Okay. I think if the commission were to decide to permit the project, in effect and practically, the order would be permitting those areas which have been surveyed, approved, you know, class 3 done, environmental surveys done, SHPO concurrence, those areas having been completed, that in effect would be permitting that portion. Now, practical standpoint, the company has to determine on its own whether or not to begin the project, whereby they don't have all the easements because they don't have the survey authority, and also make a decision on its own to proceed with the construction of the remaining areas where there is a permit and where they do have survey permission and where they do have private easements between the company and the individual landowners. So, I mean, I think there's a medley of concerns there. But to answer your question, I believe that the commission can permit those areas which have been surveyed and have been approved.
Well, what you said and the important distinction is, we're not permitting the areas that didn't get surveyed. We're providing a permit for the line, but they have to do the work and show us that those areas that hadn't been surveyed meet the standards and the criteria set out by law. And the risk is theirs, two pieces.
Right. And you know, in some respects, I think probably some thought and discussion should go to, it is the risk of the company, but at the same time, the impact on the public, I think, shouldn't be ignored either because, and it goes back to the somewhat conundrum that the commission has is not being able to have any, doesn't have any jurisdiction over the private easement acquisition and the negotiations between the company, and then the impact that a permit being issued in the commission. If a permit is issued, does it have an impact on those negotiations with those individuals? And to say that all of the risk is on the company, I don't know that I'd necessarily agree with that. I think that there is some risk, on the public as well. Mm-hmm. But from a monetary standpoint, I suppose the primary risk would be on the company whether or not to proceed with the project or not.
And Pat, can you help me out? This will be after the work session, but if you could pull a few comparable cases and just how the order was written. It goes back to essentially what we've been talking about for the bulk of the work session here, but just so I have a better handle on what type of procedure has been implemented in the past, not that it's binding per se, but it would be helpful for me as I'm looking at this.
Dakota Access was one.
I know we've permitted with a lot less.
Dakota Access would be one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't remember the percentage there, but it was lower than this. It might have been.
I'm 60s is kind of what I recall, but I could be wrong. I'm just from memory on that. But
it might have been higher. But I know we've done some in the 60s. I recall them. And then I've heard from people at hearings who have said, well, they didn't think they had any choice. It was permitted. So that isn't just something I've made up. I've had landowners tell me that was a confusion. Now, they, hopefully get some help from attorneys when they're entering into easements like this and have some knowledge of the process and whether or not, their assumptions are accurate, but still, that's...
Yeah, no, that's why I asked the question right out of the chute, if that gives the company leverage, I think was the word I used. And I know legally the answer is No.
Yeah.
But if you are a landowner and, you know, one of their land people come in and say, well, hey, we've got the permit in hand. And this has already been permitted, and we just need to work out. And I think, you know, Senex has been a good corporate citizen and operator in the state, but even so, you're dealing with people that may have never had a pipeline go across their land, and they're just trying to figure out, well,
right,
what can I do, what can't I do, and how does this all work? You're always smarter the second time around.
Just to comment on follow-up, thought occurred to me too. I mean, yeah, it's true to an extent that the commission's, you know, issuance of permit or not may have an impact on an individual landowner's decision on their own private negotiations. But two, I don't think we can ignore, and I know it's outside, completely outside of our jurisdiction, you know, the condemnation procedure. I mean, that, if Senex were to institute that, that's some leverage too, and that's something that has nothing to do with the commission as well. So that's, I don't know that it's necessarily a factor that, you know, you as commissioners would consider necessarily in this matter, but it is something that is out there, so I don't necessarily think it could be ignored either. But
well, and this is a balancing act, because our job is to look at the cultural resources, the environmental impacts, reclamation, all these issues. It isn't to look at easements. If the legislature had wanted us to look at easements, they could have added that. They could have set a percentage. And so I think that we want to be careful not to go too far beyond what we're doing either, or what we're called to do, and while also recognizing that, you know, maybe some of these issues with landowners didn't exist when all of this was contemplated, so we can be sensitive to it to a point, and then I think we have to do our job and get the permit done. I think we're close. Personally, I had in my mind 80% as sort of the threshold that I think is reasonable. We're, you know, knocking on that door right now, and you know, all the other issues have been resolved, so I think we need to make a decision here pretty quickly. So I guess I'll take a closer look at this order and work with you guys. If I have any other changes, we can circulate it again. I don't need another work session. Do you, Brian?
I don't, no.
Okay.
Should Randy be on?
I don't know. We can work through that.
Take him off.
Yeah, he wasn't at
the
hearing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, was he at the hearing, so?
No.
Because I know he has come to some of it. It's been so long. Let me see. I would have probably written down who was there.
Well, anyway.
No, he wasn't there. I wrote down who was there, and I don't have him listed. So he wouldn't have been at the hearing. So he wouldn't have made an appearance. So I think we can take him off, and then we'll just at the end indicate that he's recused.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's work through this and try to come to a decision here in the next meeting, or the one right after that.
And we also need to fix at the bottom pad that we have Brian Kolk on there too.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Commissioner.
Old template.
It would only be a problem if I signed it.
Yeah, it would be. We'll fix that, Commissioner, and we'll put recused under or in the signature line for Commissioner Chrisman.
All right. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
You didn't see it, did you? I should have kept my mouth shut, right?
I was being polite.
That concludes work session on case number PU-17-97. Thank you.